I'm opening up in the Amplified Bible. We're talking about the love of God. How many know that faith that moves mountains works by love? How many are letting this get down on the inside of you today? As you're there, hold your finger there because we're not going to read it right away. We're going to read it as soon as I'm done with this. How many are familiar with Bill Bright? He was the founder of Campus Crusades for Christ. Did I get it right? He was teaching on the love of God, and this is such a wonderful testimony. I've seen this over and over and over again. You know, one of the things that we in so-called Pentecostalism, full gospelism, whatever ism you want to call it, have become guilty of one thing. We're always looking for the glory to be poured out sometime in the future. We're always looking to bring the revivals of the past to the present or forward. We're always looking and straining and yearning and pushing and straining and wishing and pushing for the power of God to move like it once did. We're always looking for a revival. Here's the thing. That is a great and noble goal. How many in here would love to see God move like He did in the book of Acts? How many would like, I'd love to see God move right here in Chino, like I experienced as a boy when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Very precious years in the country of Guatemala. We had true revival that swept a nation, saw literally hundreds of thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God within just, more than that. I mean, there were many more than that actually over that few year period of great revival. I saw literal miracles as a young man. I saw standing on a stage while we were singing, a lady who walked up with her husband in a street meeting, had nothing but gristle in her eye, moving around. There's no couth there. They're not concerned about a patch. Stood right there with gristle moving around in her eye, and I watched as that lady received prayer right there after we were done singing with a minister by the name of Bob Lemon. I, 17 years of age, newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, thoroughly excited. When I saw him walk under and pray for her, that woman began to scream up and down and spin in circles. I thought something was wrong. When she came around, I'll never forget it as long as I live, perfect two eyes looking right up at the platform and people around them completely stunned. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But listen, we're kind of caught in a little bit of a vacuum here in much of the church, at least the Pentecostal church, because we have subtly fallen for the very thing that we've preached against. Jesus said it's an evil generation that seeks a sign. You'll notice that the book of Acts is replete. From the beginning of Acts 2, there was the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as they tarried for Him in the upper room. 120 saw tongues of fire dancing on each other's heads. They spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and their lives were transformed. Peter, a hairy legged, foul mouthed, denied Jesus three times. Satan had sought, Jesus said, to tear him apart. He said, but I prayed for you. This Peter, the impetuous Peter, who jumped out of a boat and walked on water, yet he sank. This same Peter that Jesus had to rebuke for being absolutely motivated by Satan? I mean, right on down the line. I love Peter because I see myself in Peter. How about you? Peter, after the day of Pentecost, it wasn't all the other ones that we thought should have been the preacher of Pentecost. It was a rough, hairy-legged, foul-mouthed old fisherman that God filled with the Holy Ghost and stood on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were added in that beginning day of the church as we know it. Throughout the book of Acts, we see that signs and wonders followed them. We see one time after another where the supernatural is in operation. But I want to take you to the epistles. I want you to notice what was in the heart of the apostles now in a church that was being established throughout that region. In every one of those books, there are very few references to giftings. There's very few references to miracles. There's not that they weren't happening. They absolutely were. It's established. These signs shall follow them that believe. I'm so glad for Mark chapter 16, 17, which says, they that believe in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick. If you've never tried it, you ought to try it. This isn't for preachers. It's not for Bible school graduates. It's for anyone who believes. Dare to do it and let God do what He does. Okay? Mark 16, 17 says, they that believe in my name will lay hands on the sick. I'm jumping to the very last part of that passage, several scriptures there. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It speaks in between there that it starts out. They'll speak with new tongues, goes on through and says, we're going to do some devil hiney kicking instead of him always kicking ours. That's my paraphrase for everything sandwiched in between. And then the last verse is this. He says, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I mean, this is tremendous stuff. This is what he said would happen. How many in here have experienced a miracle in your life? Know the true miraculous power of God in your life. No doubt about it. Absolutely. But here's the thing. In the epistles, we see over and over and over again the heart cry. You know, Peter addresses a church that full of baby Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that have gone off the deep end with the gifts. And so he comes and he says to them, let everything be done decently in order. Here are some things that I want you to look at, because nobody's profiting if everybody's talking in tongues. And nobody didn't say tongues was bad. In fact, in 14, we find some incredible things about the gift of tongues. And that is, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries unto God. He tells us right there that no man understands him. He makes the distinction right there that we can pray in the Spirit and pray in our understanding. This is Paul in your Bible. Don't worry. We're not going to go wild-eyed and start swinging off the chandeliers. I'm just saying if we say we believe the Bible, we better embrace what the Bible says. He also says then if we sing, that we can sing in the Spirit and sing also in our understanding. It's a very, very beautiful picture of what it is like to be full of the Spirit and be able to experience another language in which no man understands, only God. He goes on and he deals with that a little bit just in 14. Just in 14. In Romans chapter 12, we see another place where he looks at the gifts and he talks about the body and how that we need one another and we should love one another and esteem others highly. He says in there, let no man give evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He says we ought to understand that we are a body, that we should love one another, that each joint supplies to the other. I'm quoting a little bit from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We'll get there in just a second. But then he shows the giftings. He shows a community. Can everybody see in here say family? He shows a family, the family of God, each functioning in the gift as God has given it to them. If you haven't had a chance to read Romans 12, take the time out to read it. It's beautiful. He sandwiches right in the middle of administrations, of giving, of the ministries, of miracles, and of tongues and right in the middle, the gift of helps. If you don't know what else to do, you can jump in, get involved, and help out. God considers that as great as all the things that we would consider great. He considers somebody who helps out, lends a lifting hand, a very high, high gifting in the body of Christ. So in there, he shows all of that. 1 Corinthians 12 names 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to take the time to go through them right now, but he speaks again of these supernatural gifts that God gives to believers to be able to walk in the supernatural. But I want you to notice something. Just those few times in all of the epistles are these things that we spend Pentecostals and full gospel people spend most of our time yearning for, talking about, pushing forward. We want this. Notice that he spends very little time. This should be a given in the Spirit-filled church. The emphasis that he places one time after another is he says, you got to become vulnerable in love. You got to become involved in other people's lives. You got to esteem others higher than yourself. You got to keep holding accounts of wrongs done to you. You've got to release other people. God empowers you to love others like he loved you. And if you start doing these things, you're going to see the core of what real revival is all about. I don't know about you, but I've watched it for the last 30 years since I've been in ministry. One time after another time, as men tried to conjure up and make revival happen. Now, how many have been around a real revival? I was in Cuba back in the 80s. I saw real revival. There was an element of the Brownsville revival that was legitimate. It got hijacked, but there was a real, absolute, real power of God. I know people whose lives were absolutely changed, tremendous miracles. It got hijacked as men got involved. But nevertheless, there was a real revival. How many know God wants to move much more than we want him to move? But how many know if we're waiting around for a movement instead of recognizing that he is alive in me? Right now, new cord. That might be what's happening. There we go. Woo! All right, I bet you didn't have any hard time hearing me, though. All right. So, where were we? Thank you. Huh? We're known as anti-gay. We're known as anti-abortion. Now, do I believe the Bible is explicitly clear about abortion? You bet. And we shouldn't be ashamed of standing up and speaking the truth in love. You with me? We're known as anti-gay, anti-homosexual. If you embrace the gospel, you're not anti-homosexual. He loves the homosexual. He has compassion on the homosexual. His heart yearns to set the homosexual free. Are you here? He doesn't like homosexualism. He calls it an abomination before God. It destroys the people in it, and it destroys people around them, and it destroys nations. But we need to understand that we are not to be known for anti-abortion, anti-this, anti-that. What are you pro?
Love.
Here's how the world will know that we're the real deal. Not by our political stances on a few issues. This is why you'll never see us down in front of an abortion clinic walking back with signs saying, turn or burn, you're going to hell if you don't. This isn't the way the gospel was ever proclaimed. Are you here? It's the love of God. I'm so glad for what the Apostle Paul says in the greatest exposition on grace ever written, Romans 12. He makes it very clear. He said, it is the goodness of God, Romans 2, that leads a man to repentance. Jesus said the world would know us. Not by our political views, not by our stance on this, that, or the other, but by our love, not even for the world, but one for another. It amazes me how uncomfortable the church gets. In most cases, I could empty out a lot of churches teaching about the very thing that Jesus said is the first thing, because people get uncomfortable anytime there's any kind. It's amazing how that we have more gadgets. I said this last week. We have more gadgets and more mediums for social networking, everything you can think of. I mean, there's stuff I didn't even know existed. I mean, I know what Snapchat is. You know, and how many more other things beyond that? You know, we've left Instagram, and some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I am. I'm with you, brother. So you have all these things, and yet people are less intimate than they've ever been. We are called as a body. Are you here today? And it is the love of God in which faith that moves mountain, it is in that soil that it grows. Many of us are out here believing God for huge things, but we're stuck because we hate somebody and don't want to admit it to ourselves or anybody else. God can deliver you from hate as you get a revelation of His love, and this little old teeny Achilles heel that seems to not be that big of a deal, once removed, can cause you to see things in a completely different way. Boldness will come back into your life as you stand and say, I've had enough of you mountain in my life. It's time for you to go. I didn't know I was blind, but now I see it. I humbly repent, turn around. Grace has set me free. You all right with that?
Yes.
Love. Bill Bright, I love this. This is a teaching, an article that he wrote, but it also goes into quite a lengthy teaching. I'm just going to read just a piece of it. He says, a beautiful ballroom. He's since gone on to be with the Lord, I think back in the early 2000s. The beautiful ballroom of the Marriott Hotel in Chicago was crowded to capacity with more than 1,300 college students and Campus Crusade staff members. I explained one of the most exciting spiritual discoveries I had ever made, how to love by faith. So this morning I want you to grasp something. This is my message to you. We intimated this last week. Here's the deal. Faith works by love. How many know the faith that you have is not your own grunting and straining to try to believe something? But Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Can you kick both hands up this morning and be thankful that the faith that you have is His faith in you if you receive Jesus? Whoo! That's good news. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Him. He loves you this morning. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, or what's happened in your life. He still loves you. He doesn't hold one little thing against you. And this morning, if you don't know Him, He wants to just envelop you in His love. You just respond, confess Him as your Lord and Savior, you'll go into a whole new plane in life.
Amen.
Can the saints shout with me, He is good?
He is good.
That's not a shout. Come on. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. He is good. Praise the Lord. Okay, now here's the deal. Faith works by love. I want you to look at something right now. This is more to do with His love for me. A lot of people are incapable of love because they haven't received love. We said it last week, you can't give away what you can't receive. So this is why we're taking the time and not hurrying things up. And you believe, God, that as we move through these passages and through these truths, be praying for those around you. Be praying that God will guard their hearts and protect them. Because anytime you go into these areas, it's real easy, especially in this day and age where people can just hop all over. I mean, it's amazing. In our little area, how many church splits there have been. It's amazing. And sometimes working with saints for many leaders is like trying to pick up a watermelon seed in the sink. Somewhere you got to find your home. Somewhere you got to settle in. Somewhere you got to submit to the Word of God. God needs a people that are in unity, that speak the same thing, that aren't out here wild-eyed and crazy looking for something out there, but look no further for revival than the one next to them and the one that they have the opportunity to love even when they are unlovable. Watch what God does. The supernatural kicks in when we allow the love of God to operate in our lives by faith. Now, faith works by love. But John told us this in 1 John. He says God connects your love, your experience of His love with Him, to your experience of love with others. In fact, John says if you say you love God and you hate your brother, and hate's kind of a strong word for us in the English, but hate back then and in that context could simply mean your what's the word I'm looking for? When you, not even dislike, when you just consider somebody unimportant or not really relevant to your needs, insignificant, thank you. Insignificant. This is a form of Bible hate. Are you with me today? So you say you love your you say you love God, but you hate your brother. He said, that's a lie. We got quiet in here. We're going to move on to more happy stuff, I promise. But here's the deal. He's connecting our love for God with our love for one another. Faith works. The faith God gave you works by His great love for you. But now because we have received that, John says something very interesting. If we have time, we'll look at it in 1 John chapter 4. John says, we have known and have believed the great love He has for us. As he begins to open up this dissertation of bodyhood and community and what this is really all about. How many love Jesus this morning? Amen. How many struggle loving certain people? The love that you have for Jesus and His love for you can help you do the supernatural and kick the supernatural in gear. Loving by faith. So faith works by love. But when it comes to this, love works by faith. Turn to your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder, say, did you hear him? Love works by faith. You ever had anybody have to love by faith? And you don't feel like it. Okay. How to love by faith. He says, for years I had spoken on the subject of love. I had a simple 4-point outline. God loves you unconditionally. How many know the only kind of unconditional love is God's love? The world talks a lot about unconditional love, but they don't have a clue what they're talking about. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. If you're not born again, you're incapable of unconditional love. You may understand the concept. You may try to operate by it. But listen, it is a supernatural truth and a supernatural power, and it only operates in and by the supernatural. It takes a believer who embraces the supernatural love of God and the supernatural operation of His salvation in your heart to be able to believe Him for the operation of this love in our lives. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many know where that's found? Philippians 4, I heard. Whoa. Got some Bible thumpers in here. Okay. God loves you unconditionally. Here's the other one. You're commanded to love others, God, your neighbors. And Jesus said, even your enemies. Now, that's a tough one. I don't have time for that, but that's a tough one. But we're told to do it, and we can do it. Once again, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You are incapable of loving others in your own strength. So relax. This isn't me shaking the law over your head and telling you, you must or God won't. The beauty of this is that Christ died for you. He loved you so much, He died for you when you were yet lost in trespasses and sin. Too late. He loves you eternally, unfathomably, already. That's His great love. And I don't know where the church has gotten off and saying, if you meet in the middle, neath that old Georgia pine. God doesn't meet anybody in the middle. He already ran the whole way and beyond. You've heard that before, haven't you? Oh, boy. I'm glad it's not meeting in the middle. I'm glad He loved me with an overwhelming love of God. Before we go any farther, I know your hand is in your Bible for 1 Corinthians 13, but I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to stand up this morning. Stand to your feet. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll get to 1 Corinthians 13. Stick something in there so you don't lose it. The book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. Could we get that up on the screen, Bill? Ephesians chapter 1, and let's start with verse 3, I believe. Let me get there. I keep losing my place. Verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Through 6. You can read in your Bible. You can look up on the screens with me. I want you to say this out loud. I mean with all boldness. How many are thankful today for the great love wherewith He has loved us? Let's start together. Blessed be. Come on, out loud together, the saints of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the pleasure of His will. Last verse, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Are you here this morning? Accepted in the beloved, the loved of God. Amen. Woo, think about that. Accepted in the beloved. I'm very glad for that today. Say, I'm accepted in the beloved. It's a done deal. Say with me, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So Lord, show me. Open my eyes and open my heart to release what has already been given to me for the blessing of others and my blessing as well. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we are accepted? Yes. In the beloved, you may be seated. We're not dismissed. Find 1 Corinthians 13. Find 1 Corinthians 13. God loves you, He says, unconditionally. You're commanded to love others. God, your neighbors, your enemies. You're incapable of loving others in your own strength. How many are glad that He gives us that strength and that power? Okay? You can love others with God's love. But as in the case of most sermons on love, something was missing, he says. He's speaking of himself. Then some years ago, in an early hour of the morning, I was awakened from a deep sleep. I knew that God had something to say to me. I felt impressed to get up and open my Bible and kneel and read and pray. What I discovered during the next 2 hours has since enriched my life and the lives of tens of thousands of others. I had learned how to love. With this discovery, God gave me the command to share his wonderful truth with Christians around the world. In that life-changing time of fellowship with the Lord, I was given a fifth point for my sermon on love. We love by faith. Can everybody in here say that together? We love by faith. See, this is a supernatural love. This is something we're not capable of after the flesh, but we are absolutely capable of by the Spirit. Amen. Love is the greatest thing in the world, the greatest privilege and power known to man. Its emphasis in life and its emphasis in life and word changed the course of history as the first century Christians demonstrated a quality of life never witnessed before on this earth. The Greeks, Romans, Gentiles, and Jews hated one another. The very idea of love and self-sacrifice was foreign to their thinking. When they observed Christians from many nations with different languages and cultures actually loving one another and sacrificing to help each other, they responded in amazement, "Behold how these people love one another." I challenged the students at the conference to become part of a revolution of love. I suggested that they make a list of all the individuals they did not like. I'm going to challenge you this morning to do the same, except I'm not going to ask you to make a list. Just one. Find a piece of paper. You have to do it right now. Please don't leave without doing it. Write down one person you're struggling with. I challenge you. As you get a hold of these truths and you begin to love them by faith and pray for them, stop all the yeah buts. That kills more of the power of God and so-called spirit-filled people than anything else I know. Yes, but. Yes, but if you knew. Yes, but if you knew how I've been hurt. Yes, but if you knew what they did. Yes, but I've been here many times. Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but gets us nowhere. I've never seen anybody drive without endangering themselves and others, always looking in the rearview mirror. My wife struggled with that. She was rear-ended by a drunk, 50 mile an hour, hit the back of our Dodge Caravan, crumpled up the floor like an accordion, knocked her seat completely off the braces, was only hanging by wires. It's a miracle that she's alive. There's more to that story I don't have time to share, but it is a miracle. That car went this way, clear around, then back, clear around this way, then clear around the other way, and landed in a ditch halfway on its side. Why she's alive, who knows? In earth. I know exactly why. In fact, that day, my little boy Levi, who always went everywhere with Mama, she said, "I could feel something was off, but I was too in a hurry." How many know we get too much in a hurry? I was in a hurry. "Levi, come on with Mama. I don't want to go." He literally cried, "Why don't you? I don't know, Mom, but I don't want to go." He would have been next to her in that car that day. And so that's a whole story. Where was I at with that? Yeah. As a result of that, for years, my wife struggled with always looking at her rearview mirrors. And because she was always looking in the rearview mirror, there were a few times where I had to reach over and grab the wheel and hit the brake because she was looking back when they were in the front stopping, and she just about did to somebody else what had been done to her. Her intoxication wasn't drink or a drug. Hers was, "I can't let go of the past." Now that's rational and reasonable, right? But when it comes to spiritual things, we have to realize that faith that works by love is supernatural, and God can help you. You may never forget totally what happened, but the Holy Spirit will help you forget what has happened. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3, Can't do a thing about the past. Even the stuff that I would brag on, I consider dung. What's important to me is the excellence, see, of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Righteousness by faith is what he addresses. He said, so because of this, I forget those things. Come on, can you join me this morning? By faith, I forget those things which are behind. That's a heavy deal. That's uncomfortable for some people. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit can help you do that. In fact, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that beyond my words, your sweet Holy Spirit that doesn't push his way in. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on anybody. But as we open our hearts, that healing balm of Gilead is just saturating and making its way and helping us dare to believe that we can let the past go. Amen. Put it behind us. For years, she struggled with a rearview mirror, and it almost caused her to repeat that same thing with somebody else. Are you here with me this morning? Can you join me in saying, I'm free because I believe the Word of God? You know, if you can get whole in this area, boldness comes in. Confidence comes in. You know what happens when you get bold and confident in who your God is? You don't even think about it. Well, brother, let's lay hands on you. You've never done that before in your life. You normally would have called Pastor Lee or somebody else or got a hold of Sister Sally or Chad or somebody else that you know, Brother John or somebody leading the group. But something in you welled up because there was great confidence because that little thing had been removed. How many know we're going to always have little things, but we don't have to take them and we don't have to ingest them? We don't have to let any root of bitterness take place in my heart. We can't help the birds, somebody said years ago, flying over our heads, but we can stop them from building nests in our hair. I have control over what I allow in my head and in my heart. Can you say amen? Amen. That's good preaching. Okay, now let's continue on with Bill here. You'll love this. Love is the greatest. Well, listen, I don't say that. You ought to know me. I don't say that proudly. But if I'm not, like I heard Brother Andrew Womack say one time, he said, I'm so fired up about this teaching I'm going to teach. He said, it'll change your life. He said, some of you think that's arrogant. He said, but let me tell you something. If I'm not fired up about it and passionate about what I'm teaching, why in the world would you be? Amen. How many know love? Love that causes faith to work like it's supposed to moves mountains in our lives. There's another way of putting it. All right. So here we go. He says, love is the greatest thing in the world, the greatest privilege and power known to man. Its emphasis in life and word changed the course of history. And I think I already read that. Let me just jump back down. He says, I challenge the students at the conference to become part of a revolution of love. There we go. I suggested that they make a list. There we go. A list of all the individuals they did not like and begin to love them by faith. Would you take one person? This morning, some of you looking at me like a cow looking at a brand new gate. I didn't call you a cow. I'm just saying that look is very similar. Okay? It's like, where'd that come from? Find somebody you don't like. I challenge you and begin to love them by faith and pray for them and remember their name. I'll let the Lord expand your list. He will if you let him. He says, early the next morning, I love this. Early the next morning, a young woman with sparkling eyes and face aglow said to me, my life was changed last night. For many years, I have hated my parents. I haven't seen them since I was 17 and now I'm 22. I left home as a result of a quarrel 5 years ago and haven't written them or talked to them since. Though they have tried repeatedly to encourage me to return home, I determined that I would never see them again. I hated them. She said, before becoming a Christian a few months ago, she continued, I had become a drug addict, a dope pusher, and a prostitute. She said, last night you told me how to love my parents And I could hardly wait. Lord Jesus, today in Jesus' name, let your people, this wonderful group, see beyond a message and words, and let this supernatural work happen to us. We talk about baptism of fire. I'm so thankful for a baptism of love. He said, I can hardly wait to get out of that, out of that meeting to call them. Can you believe it? I now really love them with God's kind of love and can hardly wait to see them. Wow. That's supernatural. That is not normal after the flesh. Would you say with me one more time? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things. Come on, some of you need to shout it out. I can do. Come on, say it. Let's say it, people of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everybody wants to be loved. Most psychologists agree that man's greatest need is to love and be loved. I would concur. No barrier can withstand the mighty force of love. Here he mentions three. When we were teaching on this a few weeks ago, we talked about four. He mentions three. He says three Greek words translated, one English word, love, is eros. We covered that. He said, which suggests sensual desires. It does not appear in the New Testament. Phileo, which is used for friendship or love of one's friends or relatives. You remember that. We went into quite detail on all of that. It conveys a sense of loving someone because he is worthy of love. And agape. Everybody say agape. Which is God's love, the purest and deepest kind of love. It is expressed not through mere emotions, but as an act of one's will. Say it with me. It's an act of my will. See, this is true obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. All our doing doesn't mean anything. It's our being who he called us to be. And that happens by faith. Say it with me one more time. Come on, don't let the devil shrink you back in. As I'm talking, I can feel it right now. Somebody's just getting drowned in a sea of overwhelming. Yes, you can. You can. You can. I'm going to show you a picture of something very beautiful here in just a section, in a second. And I want you to see how God helps us do that very thing. I don't care who you are, where you came from. Agape is God's supernatural, unconditional love for you, revealed supremely through the Lord's death on the cross for our sins. It is the supernatural love he wants to produce in you and through you to others by his Holy Spirit. Agape love is given because of the character of the person loving rather than because of the worthiness of the object of that love. Sometimes it is love in spite of, rather than because of. Sometimes it is love in spite of, rather than because of. Okay with that? God underscores the importance of this kind of love through the inspired pen of the Apostle Paul as he recorded. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 13. Are you there? I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified here in just a minute. In this beautiful and remarkable passage of Scripture, Paul writes that apart from love, anything that you might do for God or others is of no value. Consider these words. If I had the gift, Paul is saying, of being able to speak in other languages, your Bible may say tongues, unknown languages, other translations say, he says, and could speak every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making a noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going on in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, that's what we've been talking about for weeks. How many are speaking to your mountains, by the way, still? Don't you back off. Open your mouth and speak the word of faith. I heard one amen on that. Let's hear a shout. Amen. If I gave everything, he says, I have to the poor, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. That's pretty heavy. In other words, no matter what you do for God and for others, it is of no value unless you're motivated by the love of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, you've heard me say it before. This isn't a definition of love, but it shows us the way the God kind of love, everybody say agape, the God kind of love behaves, how it acts. So I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified, and I absolutely love it. And I'm just going to read right through. Is that okay with you guys? Are you enjoying this morning? Yeah. Didn't this feel like you're taking a bath? It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, "You're clean through the word that I have spoken to you." Whew. Hallelujah. How awesome. Thank you, Lord. So here we go. Paul then, and I should probably, it'd be better to put it this way, the Spirit of God speaking through Paul to you and I says, "If I can speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love," that reasoning and intentional, I love the Amplified that keeps coming back because it grasps what agape love is. Everybody in here say with me, intentional. It's an act of our will. It's intentional love. Loving by faith. Not because they deserve it or anything else. I love that intentional. Spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us. I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal if I don't have that kind of love. If I have prophetic powers and the gift of interpreting divine will and purpose, understanding all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, I know we're repeating again, but I wanted you to hear it in the Amplified, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, useless, nobody. Now, how many know in Jesus nobody's a useless nobody? But he's talking about our impact. This is the same guy that says who we are in Christ and preaches that. But here he's saying our impact, who we are, our impact, what we mean, without love, okay? Let me jump to three. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor, we already read that. I don't have love, I gain nothing. Four. Now I want you to listen close. You can see what we have on the screen. Is this Amplified? Oh, wonderful. You have it up on the screen. Love endures long. Now, I know we touched on this several weeks ago, but I want you to see it again. We had to cut it short. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Romans 5:5. Would you quote the last part of that verse with me? People of God, all over the room. Here's what it says, and you can follow me if you don't know what it says. Here's what it says. For the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. You may not have learned how to operate in that, but bump your neighbor and tell them, apparently it's in there. But I got to be intentional. Tell your other neighbor, I got to be intentional. So do you. Come on, tell them about it, Abby. We got love never is envious, nor boils over jealousy. Not boastful. Vainglorious. Same thing, proud, always looking for a way to stand out, to draw attention to ourselves. Does not display itself haughtily. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the church world. I've shook hands and been around and visited with some big, big names in the church world. If I named them, you'd know who they were from TV. Some wonderful, 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 wonderful people. Strong. Today, I still see their leadership and draw from their strength. But there were a few that began to think more highly of themselves than they ought. And at 18 and 19 years of age, a few of those people, I saw some things that weren't for my young eyes to see, but I did. And I became very disillusioned because my eyes got on people. Because there's an element, just like in any form of power, you can get so high you start believing the things people say about you. Before you know it, there's not just elitist in government, there's elitist in the church. Shouldn't be that way. Hallelujah. How many are glad you got a pastor that knows he puts his pants on one leg at a time just like you do? I need your prayer. I am not perfect. Ask John. But all my faith is in the one who is. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Look at what he says. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. It amazes me. Good friend of mine, just absolutely rude to the waitress we were sitting with in Melbourne, Florida. And when I challenged him on it, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, "It's just that prophetic gift of mine. I looked at him stunned. I said, "Prophetic gift?" I said, "You got a gift called salvation, and love is the primary thing. I don't care who." I let him have it because I knew him well enough. "I don't care who you think you are, how prophetic." This was in huge times, man. A lot of stuff going on. What your gift is? Your first gift is the love of God. We get so into this studying personalities and gifting. We get so tunnel visioned, we forget the greatest gift of all is the love of God. Faith that works by love and love that works by faith. Faith that works by love and love that works by faith. Faith that works by love and love that works by faith. Intentional, agape, love of God. How many are glad for Jesus today? Does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It amazes me the people that come and want marriage counseling and we don't even get through two or three sessions. I just about don't do it anymore. I've offended a lot of people. I said, I believe if you just come to church and be consistent and pray with your spouse, most of your situations will iron out because you're wasting my time telling me why you're right and she's wrong, and you're telling me why you're right and he's wrong, and we're getting nowhere. I'm not saying I won't, but most of it, that's what it is. If we just see the Word of God and submit to it in love and say, "I can love by faith," say it with me one more time, "I can love by faith, even when it doesn't feel good." Come on, are you here this morning? Love, and I love the Amplified. Shout it out with me. God's love in us. Come on, are you here today? Love, God's love in us. Does not insist on its own rights or own way. Is not self-seeking. You ever been around somebody that's touchy? Is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done. This has zero to do with any conversation I've had with any of you. I'm thinking of no one. This was already in the books, in the notes, so relax. Nobody's being targeted, but it's still a truth. That right there, go back. Takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I've seen so many marriages destroyed. I've watched women. I'm not picking on the women, but this is the example I'm going to give. Because women are beautifully and wonderfully made emotional beings, intuitive, sensitive, in line. How many times my wife has picked up on stuff that I was just, go. She's like, "Honey, I sense something's up." Really? Yeah. And then afterwards she said, "I told you." Come on, guys. Aren't you glad for your wives? Intuitive. They see things we can't see. God made them that way. On the contrary, God made men the way he made them so that we're capable of leading based on a principle and a truth, and we're not drugged by all the emotional. We balance each other. We're able to go in and deal with a situation, and I'm not saying there aren't exceptions both ways. Look at your Bible. There are Esthers. There are Davids. You go right down the line. There are exceptions, but still following through, this is the way in large part we are. Men have that ability given by God to lead and are not so affected by the emotional aspect. Now, I want you to know something. God made us that way to complement each other. Why men and women are the only two entities that are made one. Period. Amen. It's not Eve and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. Or Steve and Adam. There we go. Whew, I got myself confused. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. There we go. Whew, help me, Lord. I got it out. You get the idea. One. Why? The need for one to complement the other. You're not married today? Say, God's got somebody for me. Come on, say it out loud. God's got somebody. God has. That's bad English, I understand. God has somebody for me. Say it out loud. If you're single, say, God has somebody for me. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to push. I'm not going to take things into my own hand. Are you here? I can trust him with my needs, for he supplies. Come on, say it with me all over the congregation. He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I wish I had more time because I want to deal with that subject. Whew, like I said, I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And I'm not going to bother trying to get there today. We'll have to come back. You remember last week I left off, we were going to talk about where Jesus speaks in Matthew of being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We're still going to go there. And it's important in this message. It's so vital to what we're talking about. Because just because you embrace the love of God by faith does not turn you into a sloppy agape, doormat, you know, just believe everything and just, you know, there is a balance in here given by the Spirit of God in which Jesus says we are to be wise as a serpent, no reference to the devil or the satanic serpent at all, speaking of an animal, and it's incredible, what's the word? Subtlety? Subtlety is the wrong word, it's a bad connotation. Intuitive, I don't know. Wise as a serpent. We'll look at it in depth. Wise as a serpent, but harmless as doves. We're going to look at that statement and what it means in the light of Scripture so that we can keep a balance in here. When we become whole in love and we are no longer needy, then we're not vulnerable to the flesh or to the wiles or wills of the enemy or other people. That's why it's so important to become whole in love, complete in my value before God, so that I am not preyed upon by those who would take advantage of my weaknesses in reference to my own value. That's a mouthful. You follow me? So when we get whole, that helps us so that we now, by faith, can intentionally love with the agape love of God without danger of being taken advantage of. Now, that doesn't mean we may not be taken advantage of in small areas. I have done things for people that I thought were truly street people that were poor. And I said, Lord, I'm not sure what the situation is. Most of the time I know right now this is fraud or this is real. Sometimes I'm not sure. And you know why the way I look at that? I stop long enough to talk to them. I'm going to bless them. As a standard rule, I don't give money ever. But I'll buy a sandwich, buy a drink, you know, do whatever I can within wisdom. I don't give people rides when I'm alone. There's a lot of this wise as serpents, harmless as doves. I don't believe that young ladies ought to do any missionary dating. You're gonna date this guy and you're going to lead him to the Lord because he's the perfect guy for you. All these vulnerabilities, we're going to talk about them. Jesus said this love thing has to be brought into context. Wise as serpent, harmless as doves. But we don't need to use that as an excuse either. For now, I've got to insulate myself because anybody can take advantage. No, that's a cynic. And so much of the church, just because you've been burned a few times, in that situation with that street person, I said, you know what? I'm going to love them, and if they do the wrong thing with it, I sow that as unto the Lord. I'm going to bless them and love them today and trust you with the results. And I've had people take advantage of me, steal from me, turn around months later and come to Jesus because they could never get away from the act of love. So we got to be real careful that we don't walk by experiential faith, but we walk by faith which operates by love. We doing okay with that? Now look at what this says. Takes no account of the evil done to it. I want you to hear something. I've seen more wives believe God for years for their husbands. Praying for their husbands. Crying. Sharing only with a few close friends, which is good. Pray with me. I love him. I want him to see him come to the Lord. Through those years, she had to carry the water spiritually. She had to carry the load. She was the one who basically gathered the kids around and taught them the word. She was the one that made sure they got up, whether dad was coming or not, and went to church. She was the one who did it all. And then the day came. 2 years later, 5 years later, 20 years later, I know a case of over 30 years later. One day, the revelation of the love of God. See, this promise in 1 Peter 3 to wives who have husbands who refuse the word. 1 Peter chapter 3, read it yourself, says you can win your husband to Jesus without the word because of your Christ-like demeanor and lifestyle and the way that you love him, whether he deserves it or not. Now, we're not talking about an abusive situation. Get the heck out. This is where we're going to come back to the wise as serpents, harmless as dove dynamic. We're going to visit that. But let's stay where we're at right here this morning. So understand, I'm aware of these things. I'm aware that I'm talking to a Sunday morning crowd. But how many know that love conquers all? Not just any love, but the love of God. Agape love. Okay? I've watched as those people 30 years later, 30 plus years, all of a sudden, to everybody's shock and amazement, that man stands with his hands in the air, tears running down his cheeks as faith stood on for years. And a loving God who answers prayer. A loving God who spoke through John as he penned. And this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we know that we have those things which we have petitioned of him, have desired. How many are glad for prayer this morning? How many believe in God for love? And that man comes to Jesus, and there's this incredible reunion. But within a few months, suddenly a man who has been dead is alive and realizes his responsibility and begins to try to lead the home. And there's conflict. And I've watched that beautiful miracle go. I know these are sensitive issues, but hear me out. There's a reason, because there's something for us to learn in many different areas, not just in this area of marriage and what I'm getting ready to say. Watched as little by little, that woman who, precious woman who stood, listen, our strengths are our weaknesses unless we submit them to God. Watch as that woman became more and more frustrated. And sooner or later, took the power back as the leadership in that home. And here's how they did it. Remember when? I remember who you were. Oh, that the way you're acting right now, that's right, what you're doing right now? That's exactly, you haven't changed. And we can pull out a weapon of manipulation. I'm not picking on women. Because men can do it too. Are you with me? But because of this emotional tie, we can pull the past forward. Are you here today? We can pull the past forward and begin to control as we keep account of wrongs done. Would everybody in here lift your hands this morning and say, not me? No way, Jose. Not me. I'm free from the past. Come on, can you say it today? I'm free. I'm free from the past. Come on, declare it out loud by faith. I'm free from the past. I'm free from the past. I'm free from what took place. I'm turning it loose. And I thank you that in my relationships today, now you think that's just a marriage thing. Listen, this can happen on jobs. This can happen in partnership covenants in business. This can happen in many areas. Put that back up on the screen with me one more time. Takes no account of the evil done to it. And you say with me, wow. Would you say with me one more time, I can do all things. I sat with an old cowboy that you couldn't talk to him very long until he was reminiscing about the past, how terrible today was, how people had hurt him, how this had happened and how that had happened, and his life filled with anger and resentment and bitterness. All his whole life had become built on this shaky, sand-filled foundation of insulating himself from the hurt in the name of being a tough guy. Built on resentment and anger and distrust, walled off. Aren't you glad today for the love of God? Three of you. How many are glad today for the love of God? Let's look at the next. I know this is talking loud to all of us. Look at the next verse, if you would. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Next. Love bears up under anything, and everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Boy, that is a challenge. That is a challenge. I've done that with people, and I've watched, amazingly, my affirmation and love for them raise them to a whole new level. And I've done that with other people and didn't see any change at all. That's not my problem. This agape love is called intentional by faith. We don't put the time on it. We don't designate what it is. But how many know God can give us, without being foolish, the ability to believe the best of every person? I picked up on somebody that was absolutely angry and began to compliment, I mean, just an angry person, and began to find out what they were interested in, and got, because the love of God in me constrains me to do that, found out what it was they were interested in, and amid the cursings and horrible conversation. How many know Jesus was a friend of sinners? I didn't say your best friend should be. That's back to that wise as a serpent, harmless and dove. You better not have a best friend in the world. Your best friend better be a believer that can stand with you. Are you with me? But that doesn't mean we become unfriendly in the world either. Jesus is a friend of sinners. If you're not developing relationship, you're not earning the right to tell them about the Jesus that's changed your life. Are you with me? So I'll find somebody, and I'll find something that they're interested in, and I'll begin to ask questions to begin to compliment them. And before you know it, I got a friend. They'll stop me nights and say, "Hey man, how you doing? I notice all the cars down there at church." I'm saying, "Yes, Lord, there's a seed planted. One day you're going to have your fanny in there." I didn't tell them that. Are you with me? Or in somewhere. Now, it doesn't have to be my place, but in a place where they come in relationship with Jesus. It says, love bears up under anything. Everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Can you imagine what that would do to relationships? Can you imagine what that would do in a marriage? How about let's stop imagining and love intentionally and watch as we trust God what takes place. Its hopes are fadeless, and under all circumstances, it endures everything without weakening. Keep moving. Love never fails, fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away and lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Our prophecy, there the Amplified says, teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. Keep moving. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I've become a man, I am done with childish things. I have put them aside. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma, but when the perfection comes, we will see in reality face to face. How many are glad to see him? I will be glad to see him face to face. Amen. Now I know in part imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Keep rolling. And so faith, everybody shout it out, faith, hope, and love abide. Ha! Isn't that awesome? Jump down to the end. These three. But the greatest, come on, are you here this morning? The greatest, come on, can you say it? The greatest of these is love. Amen. That's amazing. A long time ago, a short time to get there. I gotta quit. Man. Luke 7. As they were singing this song earlier, and you'll know what I mean. Do I have the right verse? I don't think I have the right verse. Let me look at my notes. You getting anything out of this morning? I pray that you are, in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what. What motivated Peter to get out of a boat and walk on water? You think he just had a thing for the sensational? He'd been around the master. Trust. Funny how Jesus picks Peter out and gives him a lesson on love. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? It's interesting. Peter walks on water as long as the trust is there. This thing of doing what we just read today can be so daunting, it can be discouraging unless we understand it is by faith, day to day, by the supernatural love of God on the inside of us, that we, like Peter, because of trusting his plan, can walk in faith and love intentionally by faith. Let the past go. Are you here? Stop bringing things forward. Are you here? And let the supernatural of God kick your relationship with him into a whole new level. Let me love Jesus today. I got to find this scripture. I don't want to leave it. Let's see. Luke 7, 36. I love this, and this is our parting shot. Forgive me for taking the time that I have. It's flown by, though, hasn't it? Hasn't it been good? All right? The Word of God is always awesome. I may pick up on this next week and tie it together, which was what I intended on doing this morning, time allowing, which didn't happen, but together with our discussion on love and being wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But I want you to see this before you go. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. This is verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And he went into the Pharisee house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat and in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Entered in, uninvited, a woman with a not so good reputation, as scripture tells us, stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet. Now, how many know this could be pretty uncomfortable? In our thinking today, I don't think it was any different then, because look at the response that happens around. Kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, if Jesus was who he says that he is, he would know what kind of woman this is. If he was a real prophet, he would know. This is not right. This is not a good woman, and this shouldn't be going on. You ever heard that before in the house of God? Or in your house? This should not be happening. Jesus heard that in the spirit because the Bible says that the man thought it, but Jesus answered out loud, and this is what he said. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one ought 500 pence, and the other 50. They owed it, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto them, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. So he turned to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. And he says, Seest thou this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins. I want you to notice what's going on here. Her sins, which are many. How many are glad for the mercy and the love of God this morning? Come on, people, all over the room. I'm so thankful. Her sins, which are many. You think you've failed? He hasn't quit on you. How he loves you. This woman walked in unannounced, uninvited, and began to simply worship. He said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. In verse 50, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Faith that works by love. Do you realize how much he loves you? How much he has forgiven you? Let that revelation. He said, this woman, because she loved much, her many sins are forgiven. Isn't that something? How many today can lift your hands today and thank God for his great love for us? My sins were many. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But today I am so thankful that because I have received this great love, I mean, aren't you glad for that? And have loved you back. My many sins are forgiven. Now here's the thing. That supernatural process works with others. Say with me one more time. I can do all things. Do you see that picture? Did that throw you? I don't have time to amplify it as much as I wanted. Did you see that picture? Forgiven much. Because we love much. How many are glad for the love of God this morning? Say with me one more time. I can do all things. Come on, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Start that list today. Let's believe God together for the supernatural as we love by faith. Can you say amen? I've got to quit right there. Stand to your feet today. Altars are open this morning. I don't know. I mean, it might just be something you need to do to just make your way down. I'm not really doing an altar call, but as we dismiss right now, I'm going to pray for you and you're free to go. But maybe you're one of those, man. You just say, man, I need to today lay down the gauntlet. I need to say, God, this is it. I'm done at tapping the past. I'm done trying to work out of fear. I accept that your perfect love for me, 1 John 4, has cast out all fear. And today I'm just going to release it by faith. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to make your way up here around the front as we worship with this beautiful song and just turn some things loose and let the power of God work in your life. I'll be here to pray with you. Maybe you don't know Jesus this morning. I'm going to remain here together with our prayer team. I'd love to lead you into relationship. Here's what the Word of God says. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that He was raised from the dead, we'll be saved. That's not difficult. He made it easy for those who believe. How many are glad for Jesus today? Praise the Lord. How many are letting God do a work in your heart? Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Altars are open as we continue to worship. Father, thank you for your people here this morning. Thank you for everyone that is here, those that know you and don't. Thank you for the supernatural revelation of your love for us, which helps us supernaturally love others who so desperately need it. Father, let this church be known in the area as a church that loves first. Let us supernaturally begin to be aware of one another and love one another, come on, by faith, the faith of the Son of God. Father, I thank you today that things that we have believed God for, the need for the supernatural in our bodies, in relationships, in our career choices, in the need for mates, that Father, as we put the right thing first, you do a supernatural work and provide every need. Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything we need will be added. For these people, we pray, Father, today in Jesus' name. I thank you that through this week, you bring to remembrance over in gentle waves of washing and of strength, in gentle waves of remembrance by the Holy Ghost. Father, as we walk deeper in the love of God that moves mountains, in Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen and amen. Listen, we're here, available to pray for you. Be dismissed in the grace of God. Be friendly. Meet somebody you don't know. Bring somebody to church with you next week as we continue on love that works by faith. God